is shining his light through us, through us. One more, 120, 10,000 reasons we have to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. On that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Good morning. Good to see everyone today. What a beautiful morning, huh? The sun's shining, the wind's not blowing. Praise the Lord. And we're where we are supposed to be, in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. So welcome. Some announcements I have before we go on with the service. Next Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday that we recognize every year. We will have a guest speaker here from the Alpha Center. The name I was given is a lady. Her name is Patty Graber. She'll be sharing during the sermon time, I'm sure, some testimonies and certainly some about the work of the Alpha Center. We will have, as we usually do, a special offering plate at the back to receive an offering for the Alpha Center. If you desire, we'll have our regular offering box, and then we'll have a special offering plate. And on that note, so Ann and I will not be here next Sunday. We'll be somewhere hopefully very warm called Cancun. So if you remember 3 years ago, we went with my twin brother Mark and his wife. That was when Ann was in the wheelchair. And we went down this year, God willing. So far, she is doing well. Praise the Lord. And it might not be my most relaxing vacation ever, as I said it was 3 years ago, because we couldn't do anything. But we appreciate your prayers. We leave Friday, this Friday, and we come back late the following Friday night, the 21st. God willing, flights and all. But that is the plan. So the 30th, three Sundays from today, the 30th of January is our annual meeting, and that's why, partly because of our trip, is why it's on the 30th instead of the 23rd, just in case. So that's at 12:45. You see that we'll have lunch after church. The consistory is hosting that. And you see in the bulletin the nominations to the consistory, from the consistory to fill these positions. I'll announce them. Tim Fryer, position of elder. Ron Schaefer, position of elder. Well, Tim Fryer would be replacing David Herbolt, I should say that. Ron Schaefer replacing Justin Plooster. Ben Crick going for his second term as deacon. And Daniel Schaefer as deacon replacing Matt Fisher. So as it says, there can be nominations from the floor. I think the congregation knows that. And we will look forward to that day. Just a couple other things there. Old pulpit, which was from this old Salem Reformed Church, which has been in storage for the last 50 years, probably out of sight and mind of most everybody here, but it has been. And so with all the rearranging of rooms that we've done this fall, we thought it was time, if somebody's interested in that, it's a beautiful pulpit, but it just sits in a closet. So there's a silent auction. There's a paper on it out there. between now and annual meeting time. The symbol on the front of it, it's two Greek letters, Alpha and Omega, which is who Jesus is, the beginning and the end. So that's what the symbol on the front of it means. It's there in the social hall. Poinsettias, if you gave one in memory of a loved one and you would like it, those are in the kitchen. You can take that home today. Otherwise, just a note, the women started their Bible study this morning during Sunday school hour, and then the Wednesday morning group starts this coming Wednesday at 10 o'clock. It's a series by Dr. David Jeremiah, Where Do We Go From Here? There's lots of other announcements, so please read those as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful morning it is. A glorious day, the day that you have made. Thank you for the sun shining so brightly. Thank you for the milder temperatures of the day. And most of all, Lord, thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, and you are the reason we are here. Father, to worship you, to worship Jesus Christ as who he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we have so many reasons to praise you as we just sang that last chorus, for our life, for every new day that you give us, for what has passed and for what lies ahead of us, for all of your goodness we keep on singing as we worship your holy name, Lord God. Thank you for moving in our midst today as you know every one of us by name. You know what we're facing. You know our joys, you know our sorrows, you know the blessings, you know the struggles, and we come to you just as we are through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, for you to move in our midst today by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our opening hymn. It is number 12. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, all earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest of angels in glory, strength and honor, give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus look out his children. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We do praise him. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Prayers for our college students. I think most of them are heading back today, right? For the second semester of the year. We pray blessings on them. Also, prayers for Hillary Wade. She spent, four nights in the hospital this last week with kidney stones, a big one they had to go in and take out, and then just getting her through that procedure. So she did come home yesterday, finally, yeah. So prayers for her. Also, just prayers for Elton Herbolt. He had this surgery back on the 22nd of November, which was their 70th anniversary, and is still just struggling with complications from that I'm not going to go into, but they're trying to figure things out, and so prayers appreciated, maybe a card if you haven't sent one. Gets a little long for someone as active as Elton has been, right? For such a change so suddenly. Also for Darlene Gehring. She had COVID, I don't know if that's been a month ago, but doing okay, just very weak yet. So they haven't been able to leave for Arizona, which they really wanted to do. Prayers for her. Also for Tyler and Kylie Hollinsworth, little Oliver. He's had several ongoing tests and MRI and probably another one coming, just part of the condition that he struggles with. So lift them up in your prayers also. Anything else over here, David?
I was informed this morning about that pulpit
yeah.
Made by Reverend Kempshin.
It was. Oh my goodness. Okay, I guess Reverend Kempchen, forget the German way, made that pulpit.
He made that too.
The communion altar.
Yeah.
Wow, quite a gift for woodworking. Glenn says he thinks he made that.
Not 100% sure.
Okay, well, all right, neat. Okay, Pat, Palmerville.
Yeah, Lee's fallen a couple times this last week.
Oh. Okay, each morning you're saying if there's somebody. Okay, because Jackie's going back.
Tuesday,
okay. Jackie's been here for a few months helping Lee and Pat Palmerville. 3 months, and what a blessing that's been. She has to go back to Oregon on Tuesday. Lee has fallen a couple times this last week. Pat's asking if there's somebody in the mornings, a morning or whatever it could be that could help her. Like, is there a certain time you're?
Just to get him out of bed.
Is there a certain time though?
About an hour a day.
Yeah, but like.
Like 8 or 9.
8 or 9 in the morning.
Or okay.
Anyway, if there's anybody that is available for any of that, talk to Pat. Okay, and our prayers continue to be with them. Okay. Okay, over here. Yes? Greg's birthday is this week, yes.
Had it,
that's right.
Thank you.
It was on the 6th. Yes, it was this week. Happy birthday to Greg in his retirement. Yes, and then the adjustments therewith. that go with that, right? Okay. Yeah, Dennis Auk. Today is Luella Auk's 95th birthday. Happy birthday, Luella. Well, maybe we ought to sing to her since she's with us, I suppose. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Luella. Happy birthday to you. Amen. God bless you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do praise you and we thank you for Luella here today with us on her 95th birthday. How wonderful that is. Thank you for Dennis of being so faithful to bring her and watch over her as well as the other family members. We just ask your blessings upon her life in this next year. Lord, for other birthdays mentioned, we thank you for each and every one. Father, for our college students, it's been wonderful having them home over the Christmas break. And now as they head back to school, we ask your blessings upon them in their classes, in the activities that they do, just give them wisdom, Lord, and understanding, and help them to excel in the direction they feel that you are leading them. And we ask you to lead them by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we want to pray for Hillary Wade. We thank you that she was able to come home yesterday. We pray that the pain will continue to stay subsided that she's had, and that you just continue to work your strength and healing power throughout her body. We pray the same for Elton Herbold and Darlene Gehring, both struggling. Elton from a surgery and Darlene recovering from COVID. Lord, they are your children and you live within them by your Spirit. So we ask for strength and healing and wholeness throughout their bodies. Be with Myrna there as she helps, and with Willard, both of them in these situations. And Father, on that note, there's a lot of still sickness and junk going around. We ask, Lord, for a breath of fresh air by the Spirit of God again to just move the viruses and whatever all it is out of here, out of our school, out of our state and nation and beyond, Lord. Let people turn to you as we pray for our nation. We stand against the powers of darkness that try to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, our eyes are fixed upon you because you have come to give life more abundantly, you said in your word. So we ask for healing throughout this nation, not just physically, but more than that, spiritually, that eyes would be opened, Jesus, to who you are, Lord and Savior of all. We thank you for little Oliver Hollinsworth, too. The struggles that he has here yet in the first year of his life, just be with him, with Kylie and Tyler as they go to appointments. Give them doctor's wisdom through all of this, Lord Jesus. Guide them. We thank you for the newborn babies. We have several in the congregation, and for your blessings upon these young families as you keep them safe. Lord, for our healthcare workers, we always want to lift them up in the situation, whether it's in care centers, whether it's in hospitals, clinics, wherever it might be. Give them strength through these continued trying times. We pray for our troops, Heavenly Father, as we are so thankful for all that serve at home and abroad. Be with Logan as he continues in his basic training in the Navy, and all the others that serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and Lee and Pat Palmerville, we pray for them, and Jackie as she flies back. Lord, Lee and Pat have had many trials, and the struggles continue. And Father, if there's some help available, we lift that to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. He says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure." Let's stand and sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do praise your name for your goodness. For 10,000 years and forevermore, we praise your name. And Lord, we love to praise you on this earth together as a congregation. We can only imagine how glorious it will be with all the host of heaven worshiping before your throne. And that is part of our sacrifices before you. And as we bring our offerings into this storehouse, we worship you as well in that way, because you are our source and our provider, and we thank you for your goodness. Help us always to be a blessing to others in whatever way that can be, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you all today? Good. Oh, I need it over here. Well, Pastor Mike, I was thinking that maybe one of these families that has smaller children or children, maybe they want to put in for the pulpit because then they can, their kids could practice preaching at home, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Back up a little bit. Well, today we're going to talk about choices and about choosing friends. Choosing friends, okay? So, what do you think, how would you think Jesus would want a friend to be? This is the character, what God would want us to be as a friend. What are some things? Kind, to be kind, to be faithful, to be faithful friends, to do what you say you're going to do, be kind to each other, loving, be respectful. All of these things are what God would want us to be. Hold hands. You can hold hands. Yeah, show you care. Sharing. Okay, giving people hugs. Those are all things, right? We treat our friends like that. We want to be friends like that. And that shows us like this. This is when we are the best, okay? Clean, not dirty, anything. When we try to do our very best, this is the friend that we are. What about a friend that maybe not be, you know, not have some of those things? What would they be like? A friend that doesn't, just tell me some things.
Doesn't care.
This friend is like somebody that doesn't care. What else?
They're mean.
These are not good influences. These people are mean sometimes. They don't listen. They don't listen to their teacher or their parents.
They
They hurt people. They're not nice. That's just what it's like. One more. They're not nice to people, right? They don't listen. They don't want to come to church. They don't love God. They're like this. See? Kind of icky, huh? I'll show them behind us. They're like this, right? So these are people that maybe they are, some of them are our friends, and we like them for some other reasons. But they have a lot of this icky stuff, right? So what happens when we put both of these friends together? What do you think is going to happen? A lot like this might come over on this one. Okay, any other ideas? They'll stick together, okay. Do you think that this paper will stay white? Okay, there's three things that could happen, right? This could stay white. This could stay the way this is. Or, let's see. Mush them together. Let's see. Ugh, you are right. You guessed it. Some of our friends' bad decisions and bad choices came off on us. Now, we might have also influenced them some, but we have to be careful when we pick our friends. You know, we don't get to pick a lot of things sometimes we feel like as a child, but we can pick our friends. Now, we want to pick friends that are more like how God wants us to be, right? If our friend chooses to be mean to somebody, should we do that?
No.
Would Jesus do that? No, he wouldn't. If our friend says, let's not listen to the teacher, let's laugh during class and make noises, what would he want us to do? Like listen and be respectful. Jesus wants us to be that, to be kind, right? Or will we do it perfectly? No. Will we make mistakes? Yes. What are we supposed to do if we make mistakes? If we just really blow it and are mean to somebody, what do? Ask Jesus to forgive us and say sorry to whoever we need to, right? That's what we do. And here's a scripture for us, Matthew 22:38. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment there is? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. The more we love God, the more we love Jesus, guess what? The more we're going to be like him. The more we'll be like him. The more we read about his word, the more we'll know what he wants. So let's choose that, okay? And let's try to influence our friends to do the right things and not let them influence us to do the not right things. Okay, let's pray. Fold our hands, close your eyes. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for all the choices you give us as children and as young adults and teenagers. Lord, help us to choose friends that will honor you, friends that do the right things, and help us above all to be those kind of friends too. And when we do blow it and don't do the right thing, help us to come running right to you to say we're sorry and to say we're sorry to whoever else we need to. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Let their light of you, Jesus, shine to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your paper.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 758. This is a chorus. Some you might know it, some maybe not. So, 758.
To the car.
Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we lift our heads. We fix our eyes upon you, Jesus. You are our King. You are our coming King. And you are pure and holy. And we bow our hearts before you and before your word, and we sing our praises before your name and your throne. So thank you for your word. Help us to be, as your word says, like newborn babies desiring the sincere, pure milk of the living word of God, that we may grow thereby. That's our desire, Father. That's part of the reason we're here this morning, to learn, to listen, to grow. And Father, I submit myself to you and your word. Help me not to speak with just enticing words of men's wisdom, but let it be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God, I ask. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. The Apostle Paul, writing to this church at Thessalonica, says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Certainly the ladies can relate very well to that last verse 3, right? More so than us guys. All of a sudden, there it is. It's going to be sudden. So we're, as I said last Sunday, and you know, in Advent, we were on the second coming of Christ. I had lots of questions about the rapture and things, so I thought, well, this would be the time then to go into a couple Sundays on what we call the rapture of the church. People have said, they've had other people tell them, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. True. My answer, one answer to that is, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible either. Yet we believe, and God's word clearly shows, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's just that that word is not there. And so, regarding the rapture of the church, the word rapture is not in the Bible itself, but all the principles of it are clearly there. And that we see in verse 17, which I'll just quickly give you on that, where it says, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up." And you have that in your outline in the top there. That is the Greek word harpazo, best way I can try and say it anyway. That is where the word rapture comes from, that Greek word. There's other places too than just this, but that's where we're at in this topic. So, it's exciting. This letter to the Thessalonians was written 20 years after the resurrection of Christ. And when we're talking about this, because I've also had questions from some of the younger generation, and I probably was there too when I was young in my 20s and whatever. You know, you're in college or you're just graduated from college. You got your whole life ahead of you. You're looking forward to children and your career and all that God has. And maybe some think, well, you know, I'm excited about Jesus, but I don't know if I want him to come back right now. And then as the years go on in your life, you do get more excited about this, thinking about it. So I get it, but it's going to happen in his time. When it happens, there's going to be kids, there's going to be young adults who maybe have just got married, just starting their career. But whenever it happens, one thing we know, heaven is better by, thank you. Better by far. Yes, heaven is better by far. That's what we have to keep our focus on. So when we're reading about these things, the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, we also have to realize that we live, whatever age you are, you live and you plan as if you're going to live out your days to 95, as Luella Auk is, or 93, I think Calvin is, 93, yeah, okay, or whatever. We have some 100-year-olds in the church. They're not here this morning, but we have them as members. We have to plan for that because we do not know. But yet we have to live as if today were it, as how we conduct our lives. So keep that in mind when we're going through this, all right? We talked last Sunday about the pillars, what I call the pillars of the rapture. And I said, if you looked at a stool, just a simple stool, flat, round base, what you'd sit on, and three legs to it. If there's only one leg to that stool, going to be pretty hard to use, right? At least that leg would have to be in the very center of the stool to do much of anything with. But a three-legged stool is much more steady. So in these first verses, Paul just says right there, first one, we believe that Jesus died. We all believe that. We accept it. We know it. It is fact. No question. Second, we believe that Jesus rose again. Yeah. Simple. We believe that. Third, he says, because of those first two things, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's the third leg there, the revelation of Jesus himself. All right, verse 15, let me read that again. It says, so according to the Lord's own word, according to his own word, this isn't just some random thought. This is Jesus Christ himself. For that part there, the New Living says, I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We tell you that we are who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede or go ahead of those who have fallen asleep. One thing I know last week in the outline, maybe you're not even wondering, maybe you are, I forgot to give you a blank for that word, fallen asleep. That Greek word is where today we get our word cemetery from. So that is, I'm not talking about soul sleep. I brought that out last week. No, it's a place where the bodies are laid to rest, and we know that. So let's get into this today, okay? First, Roman numeral 2, if you're following the outline. So who participates? Who are the participants in this thing we call the rapture? Let me say this first, because I know there's some here today who haven't been. The rapture of the church is the next event we are waiting for to happen as far as in Bible prophecy. When, and it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus is going to come in the clouds, the church, we who are alive on the earth at that moment, bam, in a second, going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And then what happens is 7 years of what we call tribulation. I'll touch on that more as we go in this the next couple Sundays down the road. You do not want to be left behind. In other words, miss the rapture and be left behind in that 7 years of tribulation. It will be a horrible, horrible time, worse than anything this earth has ever known. It's when the Antichrist will rise to power, and I can't go into it all. 7 years, and then is the second coming of Christ. So, just so you know where we're at. Okay, the participants. Well, he says, we who are still alive. Notice Paul says the word we, not they. So what? Well, so what? It's a big so what. Paul, as he's writing by the Spirit of God, but very likely in his own understanding, he was thinking this event could have happened very likely in his own lifetime. Remember, I told you, we're 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It could have. We, he was including himself in that, we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord. So there was an urgency. He's writing to the churches because, unfortunately, already then, false teachers were coming in, telling some of the Christians, oh, sorry, Jesus already come back and you missed it. Sorry, the resurrection happened and you're not in it. They were coming with lies, so they were getting very disturbed. So he's writing this. There was this urgency. In the meditation part of your bulletin, Paul writing again, listen to this and you see the same urgency. He says, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer. That phrase, it's talking about the second coming of Christ. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Well, it is, isn't it? The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The day of what? Of his second coming. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. So we could go to 1 John. I think I have those verses. Well, I read it for the offering. The Apostle John speaking there about the second coming of Christ. It was always being said to the church, to the believers, be ready. Second point. Well, sorry, letter B under that. So we who are still alive and those who've fallen asleep, okay? We talked about that last Sunday more in detail. People that have died, just that simple. It's not a soul sleep. Some try to teach that and you hear all kinds of goofy stuff when it comes to death. We just take God at his word. To be absent from the body as a believer is to be present with the Lord. Paul said that fast. As a believer, for an unbeliever, to be absent from the body means hell. That's how it is. Is that God's will and desire? No. But for those who reject Jesus as Lord, that's the final resting place. Horrible. Well, so what? Maybe my friends are in hell. I've had that said to me more than once. There's going to be no friendship in hell, I can tell you that. It is a place of torment, constant, constant torment, absolute darkness. Horrible. So the second group is those who've fallen asleep, right? So this, again, Paul's just trying to reassure these believers. Look, okay, you haven't missed out on anything. When this event happens, yeah, they're going to rise first. Where? Out of the grave. They're coming out of the grave. Their bodies will be resurrected. But you, alive, you're going to be resurrected as well. So the third, Roman numeral 3 there, what about the plan? The plan of the rapture. He lays it out in these next verses. Verse 16 starting. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. All right. Letter A there, the Lord himself, Jesus. Jesus is coming for his church, those who truly know him. We are the bride of Christ. Think about our weddings as we celebrate them on this earth. And then think about the wedding ceremony of the Lamb, which that's more to the second coming, all right? So the rapture, the second coming, you know, 7 years between, but in God's time, that's just like bam, bam, really. In our time, yeah, there's 7 years in between. But you think about the wedding. So the church, we are the bride of Christ. In a wedding, you think especially for the bride, all the preparation and time and planning that goes into that day is incredible, and more so in this day in which we live especially. Doesn't have to be. If you want a simple wedding, that's totally fine too. But a lot of times it is. And so we come to that day, the bridal parties, the processions happening, they're all here, the groom, he comes down and I come down and I'm standing here and the groom is here. And when those doors open and I say, will everybody please stand, and the music changes, although today we don't very often hear the da, dum, dum, da, dum, do we? No, it's maybe 1,000 years or whatever, which is fine. But here she comes, usually with her father, right? As beautiful as she is, and that's a representative of the church. Jesus has washed his church in his very own blood, made us holy, presentable to him. Ephesians 5 talks about that. And every time, until every wedding that I do, when I'm standing here, I am holding back tears. Not just when it was my own daughter and I was walking her down the aisle, but whoever it is, I'm like, okay, Mike, don't start. Do not start. And I'm glancing at the groom to see what his eyes are doing. Sometimes there's tears welling up there. And then they come and they stop right there. Her and her dad could represent the Heavenly Father. And I say, and who gives this bride in marriage? Used to be it was always I do. Most often now it's her mother and I. But in the I do, you see, it's the Father. The groom represents who? Jesus, right? We're the bride, he's the groom. And when we come to that point after that, I say to the groom, whoever, trying to find a recent wedding I've done. Well, I'll just call someone out, Larry. Larry of 50 years ago or wherever you guys are at. 52. Please take your bride and step forward. So he's going to get his bride, right? Goes up a little, gets her, and then we come up here for the rest of the wedding ceremony. And so the Father, Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, he's just waiting for the Father to say to him, Jesus, go get your bride. Go get your bride. And that's us, the rapture. And so the Lord himself, it says, will come down from heaven, will come down from heaven. Why? Well, because that's where he's at. It's just as simple as that, isn't it? Letter C, with a loud command. In the Greek, it is a shout. I'm going to shout because some of your ears might go, whoa. That word shout in the Greek is a military term. It means to stand at attention. When the commander says, ten hut, or however it is, ten chun, right? Bam, right there. With a loud command, those bodies, all those saints who have died and the spirit and soul have left at the last breath on earth and are in heaven, those bodies in the grave, however many years it's been, over the last 2,000 years, decomposed, badgers going down in there in the olden days and doing their thing in a wooden casket that may be also decomposed. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, what about cremation? I always say, I'd say that just speeds up the decomposing process, the ashes. What about those that died at sea and never were found? What about those that were in a 9/11, the towering infernos, and burnt to a crisp and never found left? Whatever it is, if they belong to Jesus, He knows. God knows where those remains are. And with that loud, the loud command, the shout, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, it sounds just like incredible, doesn't it? How is that going to be? God can do anything, right? That's going to come together. The bodies will rise out of that grave as a resurrected, glorified body to meet the spirit and soul and the Lord in the air. And we who are alive, we'll just drop this robe. You see in the left behind, if you've ever seen those movies, they show all kinds of scenarios. You see an airplane just flying through the sky. All of a sudden, here's these empty seats, a pile of clothes laying there. Pilot's cabin, one or both, depending if they're believers, gone, right? Is there going to be chaos? There will be chaos. Think of the accidents. The vehicles left empty. Bam, bam, you know. Absolute chaos. Where'd they go? Where did they all go? The world will know it. The technology is there. They will know it when it happens. There'll be terror. There'll be darkness because all of a sudden the church, the body of Christ, we are the light of the world, Jesus says. The church, the power of the Holy Spirit, that's some other verses. That we filled with the Holy Spirit in that context, are who is holding back the Antichrist. We're holding back all the works of the devil and all he wants to do. And when we're gone, I'm telling you again, it is going to be bad. Not because we're anything great, it's who lives within us. So you got the loud command, you got letter D, the voice of the archangel. The archangel is the one who is highest in rank. That is Michael. His name is Michael in Scripture. I left you some Jude, verse 9, Daniel chapter 10, Revelation chapter 12. It speaks of him. He'll be there too with his voice and with the trumpet call of God. That's letter E. In the Old Testament especially, we see many times where the trumpet was used to gather the nation of Israel together. There's more in all of this, but I just don't have time. And then it happens. Letter F, the dead in Christ will rise first. I talked about that. They're resurrected, glorified bodies. And letter G, after that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will forever be with the Lord. We're going to be snatched out of here, snatched out of the wrath that is to come, that the Antichrist will bring in that time. It talks, let me just read a verse back in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians real quick for you. Verse 5. Oh, I'm in 1 Thessalonians, sorry. Chapter 2, verse 5. There, see, this is what happens when I don't have it typed in my notes, right? I went over to Timothy. Okay. And I went back to 1 Thessalonians. They are so small. Okay, he said, verse 6, and now you know, so this is talking about the man of lawlessness, which is the Antichrist, and now you know what is holding him back, the Antichrist, from being manifest, from where he can step into power, so that he may be revealed at the proper time, that's in the tribulation. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, yeah, the devil, but the one who now holds it back, that's the church with the Holy Spirit, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. That, again, is the rapture. When the church is taken out of the way, the Antichrist steps into power. And then it goes on. Let's see. Okay. You can look in chapter 2 there. Sorry about that. The man of lawlessness. Just a lit second or two here on that. See, let's think back to like the stone church down here, whatever that was, 2-3 years ago when the Jim River flooded so bad and that water was coming up to the church, right? Probably a lot of you were down there helping that day. Remember they got those big Mondo blocks, is that what they're called? And all the sandbags and the tarp, and it took a whole army of people that day working to hold back those floodwaters all around the south and west side of that stone church. And we had whoever was there, had you and whoever else not been there doing that day, those waters would have destroyed that church. Thank God for everybody that helped. So that barrier held that destruction at bay for however many months that went, quite a while. And they left it all up through all the winter and beyond that even, in case it would come again. Think of that as the church, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Again, we are far from perfect. I'm not trying to say that we're all it. We're not. But we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And we are holding back the floodwaters of destruction of the devil and what he is wanting to do in that time of tribulation. And we see signs of it increasing all around us. But we have to do our part. What the devil is destroying, the family unit, he's trying to. That's why, I just for the young parents and families with kids, God bless you. And I know it's a challenge, something when you maybe you're sitting there, come on, Pastor Mike, hurry up. And they don't always want to sit, but that's how they learn. And God bless you for doing it. It happens, it works. As the years go on, you can move up front when the kids grow up, right? And can sit better for the most part. Yeah. So we're training them. We have to. Because the devil and his forces of darkness are always at work trying to destroy the family as God designed it. And so, that's sort of an odd place to stop, isn't it? But I'm getting into more than a further in the time's running out. The last verse there of chapter 3 in 1 Thessalonians, though, he says, therefore encourage each other with these words. Doesn't have to be scary. Hopefully it doesn't make you sad. It's exciting to think about, to be ready for. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this thing. So don't be. Now, there's some things maybe you want to be ignorant about. You know, we had a guy come look at the sound system this week, and, you know, I just personally prefer to be on the ignorant side about all that, honestly. So the guy came, very nice guy, and Ken was here, and he was going through an hour. Well, let me give you a small tutorial on this whole thing, and the whole hour I'm thinking, I wish I could be working in my office because half of this is gone. And I really don't care, you know. But I didn't. Maybe some of you are thinking the same thing at times. Come on. Let's pray before I get another sermon going. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us these instructions, telling us, challenging us to be ready in our lives as we live for you. Forgive us of our sin. Lord, stir an excitement in our hearts for these events. And if we're not ready, if we're just sitting on the fence playing the game, one foot in and one foot out, I pray that you would convict our hearts and our minds by the power of your Spirit, that we would be ready and live for you every day. I thank you for this congregation. Such a blessed place to live and serve. Keep them safe, healthy, and strong, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We'll be in Corinthians, God willing, I think, when we come back and look at the rapture there, okay? So, but our closing hymn, number 133, that is from the Praise Book. Whom shall I fear? This one, you know it is the God of angel armies also. That's Jesus. That is Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
By my side, the one who reigns forever, he
please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you, and may he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And we will sing God Bless America as a prayer for our nation. Seated. Thank you, Marina, for the beautiful music. Just again, so Ann and I leave not till Friday morning, so I'll be here this week in the office. So Friday to Friday, okay? You won't.